And then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to you, Jesus. Once a butterfly comes out of its cocoon or chrysalis, it has much to do to prepare for flight. It doesn't just come out ready to fly away because the wings are not ready. Not quite. Small and undernourished, they long for expansion to move beyond this awkward in-betweenness. Now, most often, butterflies look ugly when fresh out of the chrysalis. They appear wrinkled, maybe kind of wrinkled like the butterfly in front of this pulpit. But they're all wrinkly, as if it had been submerged, sort of like we get when we're submerged in water or take a bath for too long. At that point, they certainly can't fly. Do you remember, I think a couple of weeks I was talking about how all of that, kind of that goo is in their abdomen and it's got to spread out into their wings to make it stronger. And so the butterfly has to allow air to dry out those wings and for the wings to expand from whatever's in that abdomen out into the wings. Well, we're going to take a look at the process of the butterfly emerging from the chrysalis. So just watch this short video. Beautiful, right? It's fascinating to watch the butterfly emerge from that chrysalis. Now, I will tell you that due to the magic of technology, that was a time-lapse video. Normally, it takes 3 to 4 days for the butterfly to make it out of that chrysalis and be ready to fly. And that monarch looked beautiful. Its wings didn't look wet, but normally, they're very wet and just not useful at that moment. One of the fascinating things to notice, though, is how much larger the butterfly is ultimately when it is done unfolding. A part of the unfolding process is the butterfly growing much larger than the chrysalis that encased it. As it grows larger, that chrysalis can't hold it anymore. And that unfolding time takes time and patience. So how fitting it is that our story from the Gospels this week is with impatient Simon, who was bestowed a new name by Jesus as the rock upon which I will build my church. Are we willing today to accept that God's possibilities may come in ways that we never imagine, perhaps expanding our notion of who we are in this world? Now, Peter, in many ways, is a wonderful character who embodies transformation. He is also the one that constantly puts his foot in his mouth, so to speak. And he is also, in some ways, beautifully, the one who took steps that the other disciples could not take. One thing we do know, though, is that Peter is impulsive. Remember the story as he's on the boat, the one where he took steps out of the boat to walk towards Jesus before his anxiety got the best of him. He was the one who struck with a sword to defend Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And of course, he is also the one who denied knowing Jesus after his arrest. Peter is beautifully complex, and knowing his story is helpful for us in recognizing our own humanity and complexity. Now, we really don't see some of Peter's transformation, or his best transformation, until we get to the book of Acts. That is where we find Peter beginning to proclaim a radical gospel of inclusivity for the Gentiles of all people. One could argue that Jesus saw all this potential in Simon when he named him Peter, even though at that point Peter might have been like the shriveled and small butterfly that had just emerged from the chrysalis. Wings wrinkled and unable to fly, but brimming with potential. Any of us could notice Simon being rude, aggressive, and impatient, and probably just dismiss him as a fool or just ignore him. But Jesus recognized Peter's strength, Peter's passion, and resolved, and saw something deep within him worth placing his future hopes of a Christian church right on Peter's shoulders. The story of Jesus renaming Simon is beautiful and a hopeful reminder that none of us are stuck where we are as human beings. We are all in the process of becoming, much like a butterfly unwrinkling its wings on the verge of taking flight. Even better news is that as Jesus Christ looked at Peter with potential, he also looks at us with the same potential, every one of us. Nothing we have or will do will limit God's promise to create a good work within us and through us. Like the newly emerged butterfly, we are required to unfold and be open to new possibilities. As difficult as it may seem, we build power to soar not on our own strength, but through the Holy Spirit that is within us. Sounds exciting, but hard work, right? And yet our ancestors have done it for years to bring us to this point of our lives. I think of the early church members in Lewistown, specifically to this church, who, despite the obstacles, built a church building and, more importantly, a church family, serving the community for so many, many years. What if they had given up or had said at some point it was just too hard? We benefit from their courageous living and trust in a God of new possibilities. Just as they were called to develop and create something new, I truly believe that we are as well. But this requires us to be willing to be open to new possibilities, because we have to adapt in a changing world and culture. Our world is not anything like those that founded this church. But God is able to help us adapt. Now, I know there are many of you sitting out there today who, if you were honest, are weary of change. For whatever reason, when you hear just the word change, you turn away. You stop listening because you are done changing your mind or doing things differently. We find comfort. We feel more comfortable knowing what is happening in this church or in our church family. And so maybe you keep your wings folded and choose not to embrace the small and big changes when they are suggested in our church. Maybe some of you stop actively serving, or you stop making sure you are participating in a way where you can learn more about our community so that you can share the love of Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're like the butterfly. Did anyone notice that at the end of the video, that was kind of hanging on for dear life to that broken chrysalis? Rather than unfolding your wings and flying, you'd rather stay with a broken chrysalis, even though it's broken, because it feels familiar. This is why I'm so grateful that we have a church preschool. Because we need the imagination of a little child to remind us that God is always, always up to something good and always invites us to engage. Arrange some time. I encourage you to arrange some time to visit our preschool program and just watch the young children playing together. I love that in our preschool program, we incorporate that kind of free play time, because what happens is, and what you'll probably notice, is that each of them believes that they are more than they appear to be. All you have to do with young children is give them a bunch of pillows and blankets, and they are no longer small children, but they're mighty warriors constructing a fortress. Or maybe you tie a tea towel around their neck. I just got a picture, a video of my granddaughter, Amelia, who had a tea towel around, actually it was around her head, and little granny glasses, and she was acting like a little old woman. But if you tie a tea towel around their neck, they transform from a mild-mannered preschooler into an invincible caped crusader. Give them a leftover cardboard tube, and suddenly, what are they? A wizard, a musician, or an astronomer scouting the stars. What looks like simple fun to them is actually vitally important work in a child's development. Imaginative play develops important psychological and emotional capacities in children, helping them to learn how to solve problems and to create new possibilities, and perhaps most importantly, develop the belief that they can change the world someday. Imagination transcends the limits of the present physical world and the limits of a child's inner world, opening new ways of seeing and being. Now, somewhere along the line, however, imagination begins to become less important than knowledge. As we get older, we tend to be more concerned with what is than what could be. And don't get me wrong, I mean, education and that knowledge gives us amazing tools for learning about the present world and about ourselves, but sometimes that knowledge can begin to impose limits on our imagination and our capacity to think outside the box. It's not that knowledge is unimportant, but it's that knowledge is limited without imagination. Albert Einstein, who most people would consider the embodiment for the pursuit of knowledge, even he said one time, imagination is more important than knowledge. For knowledge is limited, whereas imagination embraces the entire world. Imagination is everything. It's like the preview of life's coming attractions. The butterfly unfolding from the chrysalis reminds us to embrace the gift of imagination in a world that has stopped thinking about dreams and what ifs. Truth be told, we often exchange the dreams and the what ifs for data and numbers and what we need to know to beat COVID or feel safe or secure. But claiming new possibilities, no matter if it changes what we control, enables us to live claiming the promises of God. We act differently and treat each other in ways not common to the hurting world. When we claim new possibilities, we cheer each other on. When new ideas are shared, and think how we can affirm and encourage those around us. And we recognize, too, that we are all unfolding at different times in different ways. Just look at a group of kids and you'll see them experience their life in a myriad of ways. One might be a bit slower savoring the unfolding, while another is bursting with excitement to begin flying. And adults are much like them as well. Some are ready to fly, others ready to just wait and see. I suppose, you know, the butterflies that fall to the floor are experiencing life in another way. Maybe they just need to rest. And yet all are welcome in the world just the way they are. Which means that we need to welcome each other into this church and family. We need to see their strengths and invite others to share them as we consider new possibilities of being the church. I think about my mom today. Of course, it's Mother's Day. She's celebrating motherhood about 8 hours away from me. There's a lot I've learned from my mom. But I was thinking as I was writing the sermon about how, as I was growing up, she would often remind me, you can do hard things. You can do hard things. I still say that statement to Mackenzie, don't I? Sometimes Mackenzie, at being a teen, can get a little anxious, or she can get a little fearful. And I'll say, Mackenzie, you can do hard things. And I say that to her with full confidence because I've seen her do it. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Another way of saying this verse is, we are God's work at art. The Christian self-image should be shaped by this understanding that who we are and are becoming, our identity in Christ, is the result of God as artist. And God has prepared that beforehand to be our way of life. And God is artist who not only created us and endowed us with God's image, but through the power of Christ at work within us and among us, is still creating, still making us, still forming and still reforming us as a potter molds the clay. Who we are today honestly should not be who we are tomorrow if we claim the transformation that God gives to us. Like Michelangelo calling forth a figure out of stone, the Spirit of Christ working with flesh and blood is trying to bring us to life, trying to free us from our own individual chrysalis that imprisons us from possibility. We can do hard things. The Spirit, as artist, longs to bring us to life. God wants us to live life fully, so that we emerge into figures, into living people who are authentic human beings, who will do good things in the world. And we will be people who will bring life and beauty to birth for the sake of the world, forever being and becoming people of rebirth, people of resurrection, of new life, people coming to life, giving new hope, new possibilities. For this is our way of life. This is why we have received such grace. With certainty, I can conclude this sermon by reminding you that God, who began a good work in you and in this church, will bring it to completion. This will happen, though, in God's good and perfect timing. So until that time, we learn to unfold, so that we can claim new possibilities found in God's goodness. To God be the glory. Amen. If you are able to stand, I invite you to join with me in our song of praise, Sanctuary. We're going to sing it through twice.